Welcome to the Rooted Youth Ministry Podcast, which aims to advance gospel-centered youth ministry by equipping and empowering youth ministers and parents to faithfully disciple students towards lifelong faith in Jesus Christ. The Rooted Youth Ministry Podcast is part of the Rooted family of podcasts, which also includes the Rooted Parent Podcast, Ask Alice, and Thanos to Theos. To learn more about Rooted, visit www.rootedministry.com. I'm your host, Davis Lacey, coming to you live from TGC 2021 in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's kind of lunch break here around the conference center, and we were fortunate to be able to grab longtime friend of Rooted, Brian Dye, and do an impromptu podcast recording. Brian, how's it going, man?
It is going well, man. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was neat to see Kevin Yee, our mutual friend, mutual contact, be able to text you. And, man, we appreciate you stopping by and being able to catch us up on how things have been going this past year.
For sure.
How's your conference going?
Man, the conference has been good. So we have a legacy conference. We started in 2007. Really, our target audience is young adult and teenagers. And our heart is really to equip and encourage everyday Christians to be disciples and make disciples, right? The idea that we don't just grow as Christians for the sake of our own sanctification. We grow as Christians to fulfill the mission that God has given us. And so obviously the pandemic hit, you know, just over a year ago now, and we had to make some pivots. We had to make some changes. And so we canceled our in-person conferences that we had scheduled for five cities around the country.
Oh, man, that's tough.
And we went virtual. And you know, virtual is okay, you know. But we quickly realized that people are kind of tired of virtual. You know, you're in church virtually, you're working virtually, you're doing family birthday parties virtually, you know, funerals virtually and so forth. And which now, man, I'm just seeing it as really a blessing, this pandemic, to get us back. I like the name of your organization, Rooted, right? Like, yeah. What are the roots that really got me into doing what I do now? What got Legacy Conferences started is really just equipping people again to do life-on-life ministry, right?
Yeah.
And so right now what we've done, is we've started chapters in different cities, and we're working with just a few leaders in each of those cities to really pour into them so that they could multiply themselves and pour into others.
I love it. So tell me, you're talking about the roots of what got you into doing what you were first doing. Some of our listeners may not be 100% familiar with you and your ministry,
yeah.
So help us understand a little bit about pre-2020, pre-pandemic, what your ministry was, what it's called, and what kind of stuff you guys do, especially in the world of youth ministry.
Yeah, for sure. So my life was impacted as a youth. You know, I grew up with a believing mother and grandmother who raised me in the church and laid a spiritual foundation. But it was really a mentor at the age of 12, when I was 12 years old, who, for whatever reason, God just laid me on his heart. He just took me under his wing. And this guy was never a full-time minister. He didn't even teach Sunday school. I mean, like, he was just a member of the church, who was a carpenter by trade. And he would just, you know, on Friday nights, he would go take me to play basketball.
Well, that's awesome.
He would play basketball with older guys, and I would sit and watch him, right? And in the middle of the game, he would call a timeout, you know, and just say, hey, you guys mind if we you know, if I share a little bit from the scriptures. And, you know, so he would lead like a 5-minute Bible study. And Saturdays, he would pick me up early on a Saturday morning and say, hey, let's go help so-and-so move some furniture, or let's go paint this person's house. And he taught me work ethic, and he taught me how to serve. And on Sunday afternoons, he invited me over to his house for dinner, and I sat down at a dinner table with him and his wife. First time, I was 12 years old, you know, I had heard from church how a husband's supposed to love his wife, but this was the first time I learned it, you know, because I saw it modeled in front of me. And so that really transformed my life. I went from someone who just attended church and went to church, who knew the teachings of the scriptures, to someone who now embodied it, walked after Christ in the way that I saw it modeled for me. So as my best friend and I got saved around the same time, and so 14 years old, we're 2 years, 1 or 2 years in the faith, and we're like, yo, let's start a Bible study with some younger kids in our community. And so we made shirts up. We called the Homies for Christ.
That's
and
awesome.
This is like Homie the Clown. I don't know if all the listeners will understand this, but it was a show in the early 90s. We made t-shirts up, and we sat down with teens and did life with them and taught them scriptures and invited them to follow our life, you know. we just thought that's the way, because that's how we came to Christ. It's when we read the Gospels, it's what we saw Jesus do, right? And so we just figured, hey, this is what everybody does, right? Before we got too old, we realized, oh, this is an anomaly, right? People don't do this, right? Mm-hmm. Our churches are do well at programs, you know, running services, the lights, camera, action, and so forth, and all that stuff has its place, right? But is that really, at the end of the day, what ministry is? Is that most effective ministry? And so in 2007, started this conference called The Legacy, and going back to that, and really, again, to challenge people, okay, how do we take what has happened in our lives? Most of us came to Christ because of a relationship, right? And we grew because of a relationship. How do we model that and do that in other people's lives? How do we invite people into our lives, right, to see us? And when we talk about youth ministry, I always say Jesus Christ was the first youth pastor. Amen. You know, most likely all of his disciples, except maybe Peter, were teenagers. Peter's the only one who had to pay the temple tax, which any male 18 years or older had to pay a temple tax. You know, Peter's the only one that we see who was married, you know, so forth. And Jesus, when he wants to start his church, he invites, again, at least 11 or 12 disciples who were teenagers to come follow him. And he says, come be with me so that I might send you out, right? And so that's why we started the conference, again, to spur that on, encourage other people to go and do likewise. For me, the conference helps to spur ideas, helps to make connections. But my wife and I, we always view our strongest ministries on our block, in our community, in our home. Those are people that we're going to see day in and day out. And so we just have an open house, and we have, you know, teenagers who come through. It's kind of like a open house youth center almost. And, you know, they'll join us for dinner.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll play some games and card games or whatever. And, you know, we'll do some impromptu Bible studies and whatnot. But again, just making ourselves available, just love on people again and see their lives impacted.
Love that. And it helps me understand a little bit about why you said this pandemic's been challenging, but in many ways it's been a blessing. Because I'm guessing that what the pandemic has done for you is what it's done for so many of us who are doing different ministries. And that is, it's forced a lot of the fluff and a lot of the event-driven programmatic stuff to the wayside, and it's forced those relationships to become central once again. So how's that looked with what you're doing with Legacy?
Yeah. So we started chapters in various cities, and these are like 8 to 12 people in a city. And again, you know, just trying to get back to how Jesus did it. He did it in small groups, right? Now, I can't be in every city and walk life with these people, so forth. But, you know, due to virtual technology, I'm able to connect with them. And so we're just walking through the Gospels together.
Cool.
And looking at, again, Jesus as our example. How did he do ministry? He never started a church, right? He never started a service. He never started a youth group, you know. So much of what we depend upon today, again, not that those things are bad, right? But if those things become the main thing, then we miss the real main thing, right? And making disciples. And so what we're encouraging people to do in these chapters is, okay, now that you're learning this, what can you do in your city? You know, how can you engage other people? You know, in life, how can you meet people? How can you build into their lives? How can you meet their needs? How can you speak the truth to them in love and in grace? So, and again, that's where real ministry happens. From everything I've seen in scriptures and from what I've seen the fruit from in real life, it's you know, when a teenager, right, who's trying to figure out their identity, who's trying to figure out their purpose, right? They're often going to be drawn, right? When someone hits around 12 years old, right? Mom and dad, no matter how good mom and dad are no longer the main influence on their lives,
sure.
Right? They turn to their peers. They turn to media. They turn to music artists, so forth, right? Because, again, they're realizing I'm growing. I'm getting older. I need to get out on my own. I need to become independent, right? And that's the perfect time for us as the church, as Christians, right, to say, okay, let me step in and let me help you in this process, right? Let me be an example to you. Let me love on you. Let me serve you. Let me open up myself to you, so that, you know, they can see Christ within us.
Love that. You know, at Rooted, one of our core values, or one of our five pillars, as we call them, is relational discipleship, because we believe exactly what you're talking about, that people grow in Jesus as they grow alongside of one another, and as older is teaching younger, and as people are in community, shoulder to shoulder together, sharing these experiences in the context of relationship. And I think what a lot of us are realizing is that even if it looks a little bit different in a pandemic or through a pandemic, where a lot of it's got to be done on FaceTime or Zoom or through text messaging or phone calling instead of face-to-face, those relationships have not been stripped away, whereas the events, a lot of the programming, a lot of the things that we would use, again, like you said, not bad things, but maybe not essential things. We're realizing that there's a lot that we can learn from what we've had to endure over the course of the past year or so. So what are you seeing in that way? If you had to pass some lessons that you're learning and that you're seeing in your network of disciple makers, what are some things that we in youth ministry should be mindful of moving forward in terms of relational discipleship?
Yeah, I think you know, I always love when Andrew brings Simon to Jesus, and Jesus looks at him in John 1 towards the end of the chapter and says, you know, you are Simon, son of John, you shall be Cephas, right? What he's saying to Simon is, I know your flaws, I know your failures, I know your weaknesses, but you shall be a rock. Right? Yes. You shall be solid. You shall be a leader. And that's what spurs Simon on to follow Jesus. Mm. Because here's someone who believes in me, someone who hopes in me, right? It's so easy to look at the negative of youth, right? Oh, they're just so lazy. All they do is play video games or whatever the situation might be. While there are, again, flaws, right? What I've trained myself to do is to see the flaws as like the shadows of a strength, right? They're the dark side of a strength.
That's really good.
And so, if somebody's moody, right? Always up and down, you know, always one moment super happy and another moment super discouraged, right? That shows that there's someone who really has a heart and a passion and a care, right? That person who's shaped by God is going to be someone who's going to be a shepherd, someone who's going to be empathetic with people's hurt and pain, right? And someone who's going to be able to minister to them, right? And so helping someone see that strength within them, in the midst of a world that shows them only the negative of that, right? Only the weakness of that.
I love
oh,
that.
You need to stop being so emotional. It's like, no, don't stop being so emotional. Just get a hold of that emotion, right? And let God shape that in His image and His likeness. I think it, you know, when I came to understand that, you know, years ago, man, that changed the way I did ministry. Because again, it enabled me to be someone who saw through somebody how God could impact them through His power, right?
I love that. That's fantastic. Well, Brian, thank you so much for taking some time and just catching us up on what's going on with your ministry. I love the reminder on the importance of following Jesus in the context of relational discipleship. And I love what you just gave to us in terms of someone's apparent weaknesses are oftentimes the shadow side of a potential strength that Jesus can redeem. Thanks for that, bro. What else you got for us, man? Anything that you want to leave our listeners with before you take off today?
Man, love Jesus. Love
yes.
God and
yes.
And love our neighbor. I think, man, we complicate things.
Amen.
So much, right?
Yeah.
Jesus summed it up, you know, with the two greatest commandments and how they flow out of each other. And I think if we focused on that, man, just again, let me fall deep in love with God, let me receive from Him, and let me pass it on to whoever I come in contact with, I think we're going to be okay.
Amen. Where can folks find out more about you and your ministry if they want to?
Yeah, legacydisciple.org.
Legacydisciple.org. Your conference talk at our 2019 Rooted Conference, I'll remember, the Rabbi, the Lamb, the Christ. That's the title of that message,
wow.
I think. Is that right?
That's good memory.
It was it stood out to me, man. It was a helpful reminder of exactly what you just said, that oftentimes we overcomplicate what it looks like to be a disciple and make disciples. So thanks for reminding us to keep it simple and to follow Jesus as He's revealed and to love others as He leads.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Y'all, thank you for listening to this episode of the Rooted Youth Ministry Podcast. If you were encouraged by this content, we'd appreciate your help in helping us encourage others. You can do that by sharing this resource on social media, by leaving us 5-star feedback, or simply by subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts. For more grace-filled, gospel-centered, Bible-saturated resources, be sure to visit www.rootedministry.com. As always, we give a special thanks to High Street Hymns for providing the music for this podcast. On behalf of all of us here at Rooted, my name is Davis Lacey, and this has been an episode of the Rooted Youth Ministry Podcast.